Well, let me tell you what's on my heart tonight. This has been a whole process for me of sharing this. And 2-3 weeks maybe ago, I was just got the whisper of the Lord that said, I want you to start looking in the book about what I say about the lamb and the lion. And I want you to get ready because you're going to preach at Grace House. Well, I hadn't been asked. I don't ask Pastor Eddie. I'm honored to do this. Certainly cannot fill his place, but I'm here. So the Lord said, I want you to begin to get into the Word about this. And when your time comes, whenever that is, and I didn't know till he asked me, I want you to share it. So I want to talk to you tonight about, I'll just call it the lion and the lamb. Okay, I'm going to start off and what rather than read a text and preach from it, I'm preaching toward it. Okay, that's where we will conclude. But we're going to start in Isaiah 53. If you want to go over there, verse 6, we'll look at it in just a minute. Isaiah 53, verse 6. When we read the Bible, especially we see it even in the Old Covenant under the New. Under the Old Covenant, 5 times the Bible relates us as sheep to a shepherd. 5 times it talks about we are like sheep. I'll read that. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. 5 times, again, in the Old Covenant, he relates us as sheep. Now, 187 times in the Bible talks about sheep. Some just sheep, you know. But then us as sheep. So when I look at that, I begin to realize if the Lord is going to redeem us, he'll have to come like sheep. Because we are sheep. And so he's going to come to earth and redeem a sheep as a sheep. And so he did. And so I got 4 points, and June's already instructed me I can't preach long, so I won't. So anyway, jokingly. But anyway, you know how she knows how long-winded I am. So, honey, this is Wednesday night. So, but I do want to share my heart. The first thing I want to talk to you about is when I look in the Bible, I see the prophetic shadows of the Lamb that was to come. I want to give you 3 real quick. The first one is in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. In Revelation 13, verse 8, this is what it says. The Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. In other words, Jesus coined. First of all, it was in God's eternal plan that Jesus would take on a lamb, if you will, human flesh, and die for us. And so that's the Lamb would come in God's eternal plan. But the second thing is that God's first act, now listen to me, God's first act to fallen man to restore him was in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Second point. I can't prove this, but I believe this. The reason I believe it is it fits the prophetic line of the Lamb of God. It says this in verse 21. God made tunics, which are coats or coverings, of skin and clothed Adam and Eve. What kind of animal did you think God would slay to clothe Adam and Eve? I think it was a lamb. Why? It's because before the foundation of the world, it had been decided. So you see the prophetic shadow there. Then you get to Exodus chapter 12. That's the third one. In Exodus chapter 12, when Israel is in captivity now in Egypt, God gave a specific word. Here's the word, and I quote, take for yourself a lamb. Okay? What was going to free Israel out of Egypt was a lamb. And so they, out of obedience, would slay a lamb. Now watch what they had to do. First of all, they had to slay the lamb. The lamb had to die. You get an idea of what we're talking about? The lamb had to die. The second thing is that they had to apply the blood of the Lamb so that when the angel came by and saw the blood of the Lamb, judgment would pass on by. Interesting point. The Lamb's blood was applied in three places. This side of the door, this side of the door, and on top of the door. Notice the angle. Man is now in Exodus 12 reaching toward God this way. And so the blood had to be applied this way and this way. So the angel came by, would not stop and bring judgment because it was judgment on Egypt. The third thing is the scripture says, after they slay the lamb, they had to eat the lamb. So not only was the blood applied, the lamb was in them. That was a prophetic shadow of what was coming at Calvary. Second point. There came a time in Scripture that there was the announcement of the Lamb. And I give you Scriptures quickly because I got a lot of them here. So in John chapter 29 and verse 36, John the Baptist saw Jesus walk by. Remember what he said? Behold, what? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Here's what he said. Here's the Lamb with a purpose. What's his purpose? To remove sin from all humanity that will receive him. That was the announcement. Now, in the first chapter, and I love this, in the first chapter of Luke, and in verse 31, 32, 33, the angel came, you know this, to a virgin and began to tell her that she's going to have a son. Now, you know, and you've heard me say it, pastor says it all the time, she had to be a virgin because God now will bring forth a lamb without a fallen nature, a fallen Adam, because man was not involved. But here's the interesting thing. The angel said to Mary, six things when the lamb gets here, here's what he'll be like. Six of them. I give them to you quickly. First of all, you'll call his name Jesus. And you know, Mary and Joseph didn't name him. Heaven named him. You shall call his name. Isn't that a precious name? Jesus. And then the second thing he said, he will be great. Third thing he said, he will be called the Son of the Most High. Fourth thing, the Father will give him the throne of David. And then he says, and he, the Lamb of God, will reign forever. Fourth thing he said, and of his kingdom, there will be no end. And you know, that's a pretty good beginning. When he's not yet born, he's just conversing with the angel. When he gets here, when that lamb gets here, this is what he's going to do. Now, third point. Let's talk about the sacrifice of that lamb. And I want to say this, and this burns in my heart. I want to say this and that we can all apply it. The lamb would die as a sheep. He would not only die for us, he would die as us. As the second, do you see, the sheep, the lamb, came as a sheep, a lamb, to die in our place. We deserved it. But he died, the Bible says in Galatians 2:20, I, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. When he died, every believer that's accepted him as Savior died with him. So, I love what St. Augustine said. When Jesus died and they put him in a tomb, they put him in as a lamb. He came out as a lion. Now, I love that because when I've read it and read it, and I still get teared up just reading it again. And I can see Sunday morning. When Sunday morning came and heard an angel, the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. Hallelujah. Stone had been rolled away. This is what the Lamb came to do. You know, the amazing thing now, the Lamb who died at the cross, now watch this. Where was the blood from the cross? This way, and this way. Because the cross was God reaching to man in Exodus 12, it was God, it was man reaching to God. Put the two together, you've heard me say it, and you have the Star of David. That's why the Lamb came. And you know, nothing with God is a backdrop. It's always in His plan. So the sacrifice of the Lamb. I love it in the Bible that it's very clear in Philippians 2. Now the Lamb who died, hallelujah, is now the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has all power. He has all authority in three worlds, heaven, earth, and under the earth. I can tell you this, if you were to leave here, and I pray you don't, but if you were to leave here and find you a Joe's Pub somewhere, drag you up a stool, order you a whatever, Pepsi, and you're sitting beside somebody, you can talk about God all night long. You bring up the name Jesus and watch the atmosphere adjust accordingly. The power in three worlds, heaven, earth, and under the earth. If you could go to hell tonight and mention the name Jesus, they would tremble at His name. You go to heaven and mention the name Jesus, they rejoice. The angels would break into singing. And here on earth, our hearts leap for joy when somebody mentions the wonderful, awesome name of the Lamb who died for us, as us, that became the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Well, I like it that He came out of the tomb. I'm you glad the tomb is empty? Because the tomb is empty, your heart can be full. The interesting thing to me, it came out and for 40 days, we don't have a lot of information about what He did. We know He showed Himself to at least 500 people. 40 days He walks around on earth in a resurrected body. And then He goes back and sits down at the right hand of the Father, having finished what the Lamb was sent to do, but He sat down at the right hand of the Father as the Lion from the tribe of Judah. He sat there, and we have no record of anything except earth information. He sat there for 10 days and then said, I'm sending another, one like unto me. Go tarry. He announced that before He left. Go stay in Jerusalem because the one coming will be like me. Not different from me, be like me. The word another means one like unto that one. And on Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, you know what happened. What happened? On the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound. Isn't that amazing? The first thing that happened was a sound. I looked up the word sound, and the sound has rattled my cage. It is the Greek word akos that can be translated roar. Huh. You mean to tell me when the Lamb, the right hand of the Father, said, go tarry, I'm going to send one like unto myself, that the first thing they heard was a roar? I wonder what that was. I think the lion roared. And you know, when the lion roars, things adjust accordingly. Now listen to me. Not only in that sound there was a roar, but in that sound there was a fire, and in that fire there was a language. Come on now. When the lion roars, I can remember, I think I may have shared this, but I can remember June and I and some other folks sitting in a van about, I don't know, 4 meters of that door back there from a large knoll in Africa, watching three or four female lions with their cubs just laying there meandering around. And I'm just sitting here watching all of this, and I all of a sudden I saw something coming through the bushes. And I couldn't tell what it was. I could just, something was moving. And it was this huge male lion. He jumped up on that knoll. And I can tell you this. When he jumped up on that knoll, the atmosphere changed. The lion has arrived. How many of you know we need God to roar again in America? We need God to roar in the churches. We need to hear the Lion of the tribe of Judah roar like he did in the upper room. That it gets our attention. That Washington comes to attention. The Lion is roaring. Hallelujah. So, when I look at that, I think, whoo, glory to God. You know, the Lion, we don't have any record where the Bible says lions don't lose battles. That's my translation. Lions win battles. How many of you know at the name? Listen. Woo! At the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. So, what if you don't want to bow? You don't have a right. The lion has roared. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue will say, Jesus is Lord. He's not going to be, folks. Let me announce to you tonight, and I know you know this, Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's not going to be. He is tonight. The lion has roared and prevailed. Now, here's my last point. Am I doing good, baby? Thank you, baby. Here's my last It takes both of us, you know, when I preach. But anyway, here's my last point. I want you to go with me now. We're going to spend the rest of our time and let eternity testify to what I've just said to you. Let eternity. Okay? So take your Bible and go over to the book of Revelation. And how many of you know the book of Revelation is about one thing? I can prove it to you. It's in the Bible. You know what the book of Revelation is about? Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. The whole book is about the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the interesting thing to me is that when you get, you know, the first chapter of Revelation is just kind of giving us incredible insight of the wonder and the glory of who Christ is. And then you get to chapter 2, you get to chapter 3, you got the seven churches, and Jesus is addressing the seven churches. Get to chapter 4, things adjust. In the fourth chapter and verse 1, John has been called up into heaven. And he's going to see what heaven's idea and information is about what has happened and is happening on earth. He's going to see it from an eternal perspective. So in chapter 4, verse 1. Now, let's go to chapter 5, and we'll spend the rest of our time there. In the fifth chapter, I want to read four verses and talk about that. And I saw, John said, now remember, John is caught up into heaven. You understand that? He's not sitting here on earth. He's not caught up into the eternal realm. And this is what it says. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll. Underline the word scroll. I saw a scroll written inside and on the back sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? No one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, said John. I wept much. Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. Now, I'll talk about what the scroll was in a minute. But see the picture. John is seeing the throne of God and God holding in his hand a scroll. And the angel said, who is worthy to open the scroll? Who can take the scroll and look at it and read it and carry out its commands? No one was worthy. John said, I wept. But, verse 5, but one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. There you have it. As though he'd been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Glory to God. Do you see? Do you see this? I know this is in another dimension, so it's hard for us to comprehend. But and you see the throne of God, and God's holding a scroll. And the angel said, "Who's worthy to open the scroll?" No one was worthy. And then one of the elders, "Oh, wait a minute, there is one. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He has prevailed." You know what the word prevail? He has conquered. Come, he has conquered and gotten the victory. Hallelujah. A lamb don't sit down. A lion lays down when he's finished. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. So what was the scroll? What was so important about the scroll? There's three things about it that I want to mention to you. First of all, I believe that scroll was the testimony of what Jesus did, who he was, because he now has reestablished his authority. Not that he ever lost it. I'm talking about on earth. How many of you know the Bible says, those whom we obey, we become a slave to? When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and committed sin, they became a slave to what they obeyed. And the devil now has a legal right to planet Earth. Can you believe that? The devil had a legal right to planet Earth. But God's never catching up. God always had a plan. Remember, for the foundation of the world, what? The Lamb was slain. And so first of all, I think in that scroll was the testimony of the legal right to reclaim what had been lost. Second thing, and I repeat, and it's kind of a repeat, I think it was the title deed to what Adam gave away. Adam gave away the farm. Jesus came and bought it back. Come on now, church. I said the first Adam sold the farm. The second Adam bought it back. He got the deed back. Do you understand? Do you understand that on resurrection morning he stepped out of that tomb with the keys of death, hell, and the grave and say, "Here, I've got the deed back. We have a legal right in the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Jesus is Lord." That's where we are this night. Hallelujah. The Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And he's able to take the scroll out of the hand of him who had the testimony of himself with the legal right. And then, as I say, he bought back the family farm. Not finished. There's one more. He now has the legal right to judge the earth based on his own righteousness. That's where the seven seals are unfolded. Those seven seals are the unfolding of the wrath of God. Now, there is a legal right to bring the wrath of God based on and judged by the righteousness of Jesus. A few years ago, Mel Gibson came out with a Passion for the Christ, the movie, you know, and we thought, oh, how it was R-rated because it was so bloody. But I don't think he portrayed all of it. Yeah, I think it was worse than that. See, even it wasn't a nice thing. Do you understand? The cross is not, when we put up crosses, and that's wonderful. It's really a nice thing. I remember sitting down in the movie, and there's a guy, young guy, 18, 20 years old, sitting next to me eating his popcorn like a typical movie. And I'm just sitting here, and we start watching it, and I notice little by little, he quit eating his popcorn, and he got arrested. We all sat and cried as we watched what we knew in our heart just kind of portrayed on the screen that happened to Jesus. Here's what I wanted you to hear. June and I were, I think we were holding hands, walked out of the movie and walking across the parking lot. I noticed she had tears in her eyes. She said, "Honey, never again. Never again. He'll never have to go to Calvary. Nobody will ever beat him again. He will not wear thorns again. The lion from the tribe of Judah hath prevailed and overcome. Never again." One day he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Next time he'll come riding a white stallion. Why? That's what kings ride. Woo! Excuse me. It just makes me happy. I mean, it's like a streak of glory runs through me. I'm like, glory to God. Listen, when I look at this, when I see the scroll thing, when I see all of this, then I think, never, never again. Can you imagine Washington? Can you imagine Moscow? Can you imagine China? You fill in the blank. Every knee will bow. When the lion roars, everybody trembles and bows their knee because Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. No wonder. I mean, how many times in my life since I've been saved have I spoken to a demon and say, in the name of Jesus, you bow, you leave. People say, well, what if he don't leave? He don't have a right. When the lion roars, bless God, you will do what the lion has roared about. You don't have a choice. So it was. Rode in on a donkey. They beat him. They ridiculed him. They disgraced his name. They spit on him. The soldiers hit him with their fists. They pulverized his back and finally nailed him to the cross. But that was the Lamb. And he's still the Lamb. But now he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He shall never, 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 never have to redeem us again. He already has. Boy, when you see already has, it sure does change everything to a going to be. Yes, I know there's a consummation of the age. But I cannot be more redeemed than I already am. Do you understand? How many know you can't get saved? If you're saved, you're saved. Praise God. You didn't get some of Jesus. I got the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The Lamb of God living in my heart and in your heart. So it is, and so it will be. Now let's end here, at least close. Would you look at jump down to the 10th verse? It says, "In heaven now, and they sing a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its scrolls, and you were slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made us.'" Now, I want you to see that. "And he has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." He has made us kings and priests. It says that in chapter 1, verse 6, if you want to look at it. Two places. Emphatically says, the Lamb of God died to make us kings and priests. Now, go over, and we will end. Go over to the 19th chapter of Revelation. I'll just read it. Can I just read a lengthy passage here? It's worth it. Verse 11, 19 of Revelation. "I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." By the way, just for information's sake, I heard 2 days ago, I think it was, Euphrates River's drying up. Interesting. The Bible's emphatically true about the armies marching across the Euphrates. Just thought I'd throw that out to let you know, every time you get discouraged, just say, Euphrates is drying up, which means we're closer now than we've ever been. So when he's coming, I don't know, but listen, it's sooner now than it was last Sunday. Isn't that right? So here it is. We have it here. We see it. And then it says, "His eyes were like a flame of fire, and in his hands were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knows except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood." Whose? His own. "And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses." That's us. Do you see that? Come on, church. This ain't what the Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal meeting. These are the redeemed saints of God riding on white horses. Then it says, and now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now come on now, who's behind him? The multitude, you on white horses. Who are the kings? He is King of Kings. He has made you by himself kings and priests unto the Most High God right here tonight. And the Lion of the tribe of Judah will prevail through you. Just open your heart and let him. Hallelujah. Well, I like what the scripture said in John. Father has committed all judgment to the Son. Father has given him all power and authority. There is no judgment apart from the Son. The Father turned all judgment over to the Lamb who died, and now he's given his power and authority to the kings and priests on earth. That's you. You're the ones on the white horse. You go. People ask me all the time, do you think they got pets in heaven? They got horses. Bless God, I know they got horses. If you believe they got your poodle there, go ahead and believe it. I don't know. When you get there, I don't think you'll care. But anyway, they do have horses. What I want you to see here tonight, don't get discouraged. Don't get distracted. Don't get refocused. Listen to me now. The Lamb of God, in the midst of the throne, John saw him. He said, he was in the midst of the throne. That's his redemption. For the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed, overcome, got the victory, and called you and me kings and priests unto the Most High God. No wonder they call it good news. The best news I ever heard. I mean, I know what I was, and by his grace, put me in his Son. If any man be in Christ, then you're in him. And so, that's all I got to say. I just love him, and he just loves you. And he wants to live his life in me, out of me, and through me, just like he does each of you. The Lamb came to die, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I love it. I love it when Acts 2 says, and there was a roar from heaven. Glory to God. Well, what do you mean by that? I'll end here. A few years ago when revival broke out in Pensacola. Remember that? John Kilpatrick? I heard John tell it. John said, I was sitting there. It was on Father's Day. All of a sudden, he said, there was a roar came in the building. What was that? It was the Lion roaring. Guess what happened? Revival broke out, and hundreds and thousands of people have come to Christ because of it. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let the Lion of the tribe of Judah roar at Grace House until thousands and thousands will come to Christ. Our lives will be radically changed. Our families. Lord, let the Lion of the tribe of Judah roar in our homes. Roar in our houses. Roar, Lord God, with power and authority and might and glory and splendor. Let the tribe, the Lion of the tribe of Judah be himself wherever we are in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen? You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Babe, I got 1 minute. Thank you. Andrew, where are you? Oh, here he comes. I have read those scriptures I've read to you over the last 2 weeks many times. even this afternoon, Mike, I'd read them and I couldn't quit weeping. When I looked behind the scene and I saw how heaven sees what's happening at Grace House. See, that was heaven's perspective. When John said, I looked and I saw in the midst of the throne, there was a lamb, but there was the lion of the tribe of Judah. He hath prevailed. God, as I say it again, God isn't catching up. God isn't behind. He hadn't lost his power. He hadn't lost his authority. And we're going to win this thing. I read the last chapter. I don't know what we're going to look like when we get there. But we're going to win this thing. And so don't let the devil beat you up. And listen, don't get caught in your what ifs. Change it. What now? Not what if. You can grieve over that the rest of your life. But what now? And let the lion roar big in you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Tonight I just pray for my life. I pray for all of us here. I pray, Lord, that whatever our needs might be, as the lion from the tribe of Judah, worthy to take the scroll, may at Grace House and in our communities, in our land and around the world, may the lion roar again in great power and great authority in our churches. May he begin to roar at the Walmarts. May he begin to roar at the mall. May you begin to live mightily in all of us. Thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Would some of our prayer team, just for any of you that might need prayer, please know, would two or three of you, if you don't mind, just step on down. And I just speak over you. Number six. I say this. Let me say it again. I say this all the time. But it's life to me. God said to Moses, tell Aaron, say this over Israel, and I will do what I've said. But now we're living under a better covenant than Aaron had. When God said to Moses, tell Aaron, say to Israel, and Israel's not here, but we're engrafted into the vine. We're under a new covenant. And I just say to you, may the Lord bless you. And may he keep you. May he make his face shine on you. May he be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you. And may he give you his incredible, overwhelming, indescribable peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Why don't you give the Lord a great big hallelujah. Put your hands together. Hallelujah. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming. Any of you need prayer, we'd be glad to pray with you in the next few minutes. Love you much.